full armor. And he says in verse 17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you also may know of my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen." Lord, we just want you to bless this word of yours, Lord, that you would take it, that you would fill it with your Spirit. We so thankful, Lord, your own word tells us that we have no need of any man to teach us, but the anointing that we have teaches us all things. And so, Lord, let your anointing be on each of our hearts, on our ears. Would you speak to us, Lord? Would you be showing us the things you want us to know? Would you wash your bride this morning in the water of your word? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So would you use your word to stir up faith? Would you draw our hearts in to you, to know you, to press in to know you? Speak, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. We've been talking for a couple weeks about this battle that we're in. How it's war. And, you know, I think sometimes we make the mistake of ignoring the battles that are around us. We came across a thing from a devotional, something from Max Lucado. It comes from his book, In the Grip of Grace. And I like this. It says this: "God has enlisted us in his navy and placed us on his ship. The boat has one purpose, to carry us safely to the other shore. This is no cruise ship. It's a battleship. We aren't called to a life of leisure. We are called to a life of service. Each of us has a different task, some concerned with those who are drowning or snatching people from the water. Others are occupied with the enemy, so they man the cannons of prayer and worship. Still others devote themselves to the crew, feeding and training the crew members. Though different, we are the same. Each can tell a personal encounter with the captain, for each has received a personal call. We each followed him across the gangplank of his grace onto the same boat. There is one captain and one destination. Though the battle is fierce, the boat is safe, for our captain is God. The ship will not sink. For that, there is no concern." We're on a battleship. We're in a war, and we need to learn the weapons that God has given us for our part in the warfare. We've talked over the last couple of weeks, in verse 13, this exhortation, and actually he mentioned it in verse 11, he talks about putting on the whole armor, every piece of the armor. You know, as you grow in your Christian walk, as we learn more about the Lord, certain pieces of the armor stick out at different times in our life. And certain parts of the armor are things that we kind of go, yeah, this is what I need, this is what I need. And we focus on this or on that part of the armor. But one of the things that has hit me this time going through the armor is that Paul says, take up the whole armor. Take up everything. You need it all. You don't need to just go into the battle with just the belt.
Well, I've got the belt on. You know, I am a belt man. Dun, dun, dun. I'm going to face this battle with my belt.
Well, you're going to get sliced to pieces if you, all you have is the belt. On the other hand, if you don't have the belt, you're in a mess. You might have everything else, but if you don't have the belt, you got nothing to hang everything on. Your robes are all over the place. You're tripping. You're falling. You need the belt. We need all of the pieces. All of the pieces. And though it's not labeled as a piece of the armor, in the context, Paul's still talking about the armor. And he talks now about prayer. I consider prayer every bit a part of the armor as the other elements that we've been studying going through. And this morning, I want to just zero in on this whole aspect of prayer. Paul has some marvelous lessons here as he talks about the importance of praying. He says, verse 18, a whole bunch of things here in verse 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. The word watchful means don't fall asleep. You're not asleep at the wheel. Wake up. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. He starts off with this phrase, at least in the New King James, praying always. Praying always, or praying, and actually the word always, it's a phrase of words, and it means all the time or on every occasion. Praying all the time, on every occasion, praying. Talk for a minute about what we call unceasing prayer. The Bible encourages us to learn about how to pray all the time. The Bible tells us that God is always with us. In Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, sometimes I'm not sure I quite get that. If I understood that Jesus was right here with me, would I walk into some of the places that I walk into? Would I stay so long looking at certain channels on the TV? Would I talk about things the way if I looked over my shoulder and there's Jesus standing there? His presence, he's always there. And if he's always there, his intent is not to be a silent partner. He wants to be a part of it. He wants us to learn to have constant conversation with him. I imagine some people might think that I might be a little bit crazy. Maybe they'll say, "Well, you're just talking to yourself during the day." I'm not talking to myself during the day. I'm talking with God during the day. When something comes up, a situation comes up, and I don't understand it, I need to talk to him. I need to tell him about it. God, what do you think about this? What's happening? Understanding the line is always active. The connection's always there. You don't have to pick up the phone and dial. You're already connected. You're always on. It's like DSL, different between DSL and dial-up. Not only is there a speed difference, but with DSL you're always on. You boot up your computer, you just log, you just go boom, and you're on, right? You don't have to wait for that. No need for the dial-up connection thing. You're always on. That's what God wants us to learn. Constant prayer. Unceasing prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. A couple hundred years ago, there was a French priest named Brother Lawrence, and he put together a small collection of little teachings called The Practice of the Presence of God. And one of the things he wrote is this. He says, pray, remember what I have recommended to you, which is to think often on God, by day, by night, in your business, and even in your diversions. He is always near you and with you. Leave him not alone. You would think it rude to leave a friend alone who came to visit you, right? Why then must God be neglected? Do not then forget him, but think on him often. Adore him continually. Live and die with him. This is the glorious employment of a Christian. In other words, in a word, this is our profession. If we do not know it, we must learn it. And you know what? I have found in my life, it is something that you learn. It is something that you learn. It's something that you need to practice. I don't know what I would do without the connection. It's been a long time since I had a deadline. I don't know what I'd do. We must practice it and get there, gang. God wants to teach us the practice of unceasing prayer, of constant communication with Him. And nowadays, when the soldiers go into battle, you know, they're all wired up, aren't they? They got headgear on and headsets and stuff, and they're talking to each other all the time. They're talking to their commanders. They're right there. Everything's all wired together. Everything's connected. Gang, that's what prayer is. It's your connection with the general, with the home base. It's your connection with home. We need to learn this practice of constant prayer, unceasing prayer, praying always. Then he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs to be a part of prayer. I need to learn to yield to the Holy Spirit. Two words he uses here for prayer. He uses the word prayer and supplication. The word prayer, it's just a general thing. It's a general term, like you and I use it. It's talking to God. Prayer. With all prayer, just keep talking to God, and supplication. The word for supplication, the Greek word has to do with needs, necessities, what must happen. It's the things that you ask God for, the things that you entreat God for. It's the specific requests that you make to God. And gang, that's an important part of prayer. Prayer should be about making specific requests. The importance of learning to make specific requests. It's nice that, you know, I would love for you to pray for me. That's going to be part of the message at the end. You know, Paul says, pray for me. So I'm going to say, well, pray for me too. You know, I'd like that. I hope you pray for me. But don't just say, and I pray for Pastor Rich. And then I pray for this person. And I pray for that person. No, no, no. Please learn to pray specific prayers. Specific prayers. Learn to look for needs and pray for specific needs. Prayer is more than just having a conversation with God. An important element of prayer is learning to ask specific things from God. There's a little fable about a Mr. Jones who dies and goes to heaven. Peter is waiting at the gates to give him a tour. Amid the splendor of golden streets, beautiful mansions, choirs of angels that Peter shows him, Mr. Jones notices an odd-looking building. He thinks it looks like an enormous warehouse. It has no windows and only one door. But when he asks to see inside, Peter hesitates. You really don't want to see what's in there, Peter tells him. You know, well, why should there be any secrets in heaven, Mr. Jones wonders. What incredible surprise could be waiting for me in there? When the official tour is over, he's still wondering. So he asks again to see inside the structure. Finally, Peter relents. When the apostle opens the door, Mr. Jones almost knocks him over in haste to enter. It turns out that the enormous building is filled with rows after rows of shelves, floor to ceiling, each stacked neatly with white boxes tied in red ribbon. These boxes all have names on them, Mr. Jones muses aloud. Then turning to Peter, he asks, do I have one? Well, yes, you do. Peter tries to guide Mr. Jones back outside. Yeah, you know, let's go now. You know. Frankly, Peter says, if I were you, but Mr. Jones is already dashing past the boxes towards the J aisle to find his box. Peter follows, shaking his head. He catches up with Mr. Jones just as he's slipping the red ribbon off of his box, popping open the lid. He looks inside, and Jones has a moment of instant recognition and lets out a deep sigh, like the one Peter has heard so many times before. Because there in Mr. Jones' white box are all the blessings that God wanted to give to him while he was on earth, but Mr. Jones had never asked. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you. James writes in James chapter 4, he says, you have not because you ask not. Please listen to me carefully here. Even though there's no limit to God's goodness, if you didn't ask Him for a blessing yesterday, you didn't get all that you were supposed to have. That's the catch. If you don't ask for His blessing, you forfeit those that come to you only when you ask. You see, some blessings God's just going to give you no matter what. You know, that's grace. That's God's kindness. You know, He just wants to shower His children and stuff. But I do believe this, beloved. I do believe this. I believe this is why Jesus says, ask and you will receive. This is why James says, you'd have not because you ask not. I do believe this, gang, that there are things up on the shelves in heaven that we just haven't been asking for. And there are things that will come when we ask for them. Do you hear me with this? Do you understand what I'm saying? In the same way that a father is honored to have a child beg for his blessing, your father is delighted to respond generously when his blessing is what you covet most. Because I am a child of God, because you, believer, are a child of God, you got a couple of perks coming with that. You got a papa in heaven who's got all kinds of stuff. Stuff that he loves to bless you with. But some of those things are tied to you learning to ask for them. Learning to ask. As God's child, I cheat myself when I don't pray. There are things in my life I don't receive when I don't pray for them. You hearing me? As your friend, there are things you're not receiving when I don't pray for you. You get what I'm talking about? Gang, we need to pray. We need to learn the discipline of prayer. We do. We need to learn the discipline of specific prayer. Specific prayer. If you were the child of a hugely wealthy man, a man who's given you a credit card with no limit, you go out, buy whatever you want, and he pays the bill right off the bat. You're just no limit, you know. Would you ever use that? Huh? Would you ever use that? If you had a credit card, a debit card. Let's say you got a debit card. It's got billions of bucks behind it, you know. Would you? I mean, think about that. And your pop says, hey, use this. Here you go. Would you use it? Would you? Gang, that's a little bit what prayer is like. There's a catch to it. And that's that we learn to ask for what God wants to give us, for the things that are His will. But dang, His will is good, acceptable, perfect. That's what Romans 12 says. God's will is all awesome for you. So don't be afraid of asking. You might not get everything that you're asking for, but you get the things that God wants. And man, ask. Learn to use that credit card, you know? You know, don't be the kid who gets the credit card and goes, well, I don't know how to use this. You know, I don't know. Nobody's ever showed me, so I'll leave it in my pocket. No. Learn it. Learn to use what God has given to you. Jesus said in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. It shall be done for you. Now, I think that it's important that we learn to ask for specific things, and I'm a little bit like Winnie the Pooh. I'm a bear of very little brain. I forget things very, very quickly. And so there may be times when I know, there's something I want to be praying for you. You know, we're talking, we're sharing, and now, oh boy, I got to pray for this for you. But I got to tell you, I will often, in a day or so, my leaky brain has leaked all its contents out over my on my pillow at night. And I wake up in the morning, and I go, oh, what a delightful day it is. Oh, what's my name? I don't know, you know, and I just forget about everything, you know. This is why, beloved, I am learning. This is where I'm at. I'm about in kindergarten on this. And you know what? I know that some of you are prayer warriors, and I hope you will be patient with me today. I hope that today doesn't sound too elemental to you, because I'm just learning kindergarten stuff. And so I'm going to share with you what I'm learning. I'm learning that it's important to have a prayer list, because I forget. And there are some things that I am learning are so important that I learn to pray for every day, that those things make it onto the list. I have a list of people that I pray for every day. My family's at the top. And I'm learning to ask God, how do you want me to ask for this person? And I'm learning to keep track of it. And I pray for you every day. I will pray for those of you who are on my list every day. Because I want to make sure that when I get to heaven, and if I get to find that warehouse, I want to find the box empty. You know, I want to find the box empty. I want to learn to make sure that we get as much down here that God wants done down here. And gang, don't start with, don't when you start a list, here's something I've learned over the years. Don't start with the phone book. Don't make a phone book. You know what I'm talking about? Like the Pac Bell, or no, not Pac Bell, now it's SBC. No, it's AT&T phone book. You know the big, thick thing that's got everybody's name in it? No. If you're beginning at prayer like I am, then you just start with three or four people that are closest to you. And just start with their names on your list every day. And you know what? Keep it blank for a couple of days. Keep your list blank for a week or so. And ask God, what do they need? What's on the shelf that you want to send to earth? And as God begins to show you what's really important, let those things make your list. You know what? It will grow. It will grow. I know some people whose lists are several pages now, but they don't start there. You start with a few. You start with just a couple, because we must learn to pray every day. With this, we're talking about specific requests. Let me talk about specific time, because I think this is also important. I believe that it's important that we learn to spend specific time with God. Let me explain what I'm talking about. It's one thing, if you're married, it's one thing to be in a crowded room with your wife. That's nice. I mean, I'd rather be in a crowded room with my wife than in a crowded room without my wife. That's nice. I can look, and there she is over there, you know, and I'm talking with my people, she's talking with her people, and we're all in the same room. That's nice. I like that. Okay? That's a good thing. I'm not opposed to that. But that is nothing like when we go out to breakfast on Monday mornings to Polly's, and it's just the two of us. And we try every week to somewhere during the week. We're not perfect at it, but we try to spend time regularly, just the two of us. Nobody else around to talk and interrupt the conversation, but just the two of us. Are you following with me what I'm saying? See, the difference between being in a crowd with somebody, it's nice, but being alone with them. And beloved, when we talk about the unceasing prayer, when we talk about walking with God and talking with Him all during the day, that's good. That's a starting place. But you've got to take it past that. Because God wants to spend time with just you. You and Him. Don't say, well, I pray all during the day. Good. Glad. Very happy for you. Glad you keep up that communication. Glad that you've learned the presence of God. But you know what? We need to learn to give specific time to God. This is called Table for Two by Kristen Burgess. He sits by himself at a table for two. The uniformed waiter returns to his side and asks, "Would you like to go ahead and order, sir?" The man has, after all, been waiting since 7 o'clock, almost a half an hour. "No, thank you," the man smiles. I'll wait for her a while longer." "How about some more coffee?" "Certainly, sir." The man sits, his clear blue eyes gazing straight through the flowered centerpiece. He fingers his napkin, allows the sounds of light chatter, tinkling silverware, and mellow music to fill his mind. He's dressed in a sport coat and tie. His dark brown hair is neatly combed, but one stray lock keeps insisting on dropping to his forehead. The scent of his cologne adds to his clean-cut image. He's dressed up enough to make a companion feel important, respected, loved. Yet he's not so informal as to make one uncomfortable. It seems that he's taken every precaution to make others feel at ease with him. Still, he sits alone. The waiter returns to fill the man's cup. "Is there anything else I can get for you, sir?" "No, thank you." The waiter remains standing at the table. Something tugs at his curiosity. "I don't mean to pry, but..." His voice trails off. This line of conversation could jeopardize his tip. "Go ahead," the man encourages. His is strong, yet sensitive, inviting conversation. "Why do you bother waiting for her?" the waiter finally blurts out. This man has been at the restaurant other evenings, always patiently alone. Says the man quietly, "Because she needs me." "Are you sure?" "Yes." "Well, sir, no offense, but assuming that she needs you, she sure isn't acting much like it. She stood you up 3 times just this week." The man winces, looks down at the table. "Yes, I know." Well, then why do you still come here and wait?" "Cassie said she would be here." "Well, she said that before," the waiter protests. "I wouldn't put up with it. Why do you? Now the man looks up, smiles at the waiter, and simply says, "Because I love her." The waiter walks away, wondering how one could love a girl who stands him up 3 times a week. "The man must be crazy," he decides across the room. He turns to look at the man again. The man slowly pours cream into his coffee. He twirls his spoon between his fingers a few times before stirring sweetener into his cup. After staring for a moment into the liquid, the man brings the cup to his mouth and sips, silently watching those around him. "He doesn't look crazy," the waiter admits. "Maybe the girl has qualities I don't know about. Maybe the man's love is stronger than most." The waiter shakes himself out of his musings to take an order from a party of 5. The man watches the waiter, wonders if he's ever been stood up. The man has, many times, but he still can't get used to it. Each time it hurts. He's looked forward to this evening all day. He has many things, exciting things to tell Cassie, but more importantly, he wants to hear Cassie's voice. He wants her to tell him all about her day, her triumphs, her defeats, anything, really. He has tried so many times to show Cassie how much he loves her. He'd just like to know that she cares for him, too. He sits sporadically at the coffee and loses himself in thought, knowing that Cassie is late, but still hoping that she will arrive. The clock says 9:30 when the waiter returns to the man's table. "Is there anything I can get for you?" The still empty chair stabs at the man. "No, I think that will be all for tonight. May I have a check, please?" "Yes, sir." When the waiter leaves, the man picks up the check. He pulls out his wallet and signs. He has enough money to have given Cassie a feast, but he takes out only enough to pay for his 5 cups of coffee and the tip. "Why do you do this, Cassie?" his mind cries as he gets up from the table. "Goodbye," the waiter says as the man walks towards the door. "Good night. Thank you for your service." "You're welcome, sir," says the waiter softly, for he sees the hurt in the man's eyes that his smile can't hide. The man passes a laughing couple on his way out, and his eyes glisten as he thinks of the good time he and Cassie could have had. He stops at the front and makes reservations for tomorrow. Maybe Cassie will be able to make it, he thinks. 7 o'clock tomorrow for party of 2, the hostess confirms. "That's right," the man replies. "Do you think she'll come?" asks the hostess. She doesn't mean to be rude, but she has watched the man many times alone at his table for 2. "Yes, someday, yes, I will be waiting for her." The man buttons his overcoat, walks out of the restaurant alone. He his shoulders are hunched, but through the windows the hostess can only guess whether they are hunched against the wind or against the man's hurt. As the man turns toward home, Cassie turns into bed. She is tired after an evening out with friends. She reaches toward her nightstand to set the alarm. She sees the note that she scribbled to herself last night. 7 o'clock, it says. Spend some time in prayer. Darn, she thinks. She forgot again. She feels a twinge of guilt, but quickly pushes it aside. She needed that time with her friends. And now she needs her sleep. She can pray tomorrow night. Jesus will forgive her, and she's sure he doesn't mind. God's heart is crying out to you and me. I picked this schmutzy story on purpose. It's a tearjerker. It's like, oh, man. Oh, man. Look, don't feel sorry for Jesus. Feel sorry for you. Feel sorry for you, beloved. Feel sorry for me when I don't pray. We're the ones missing out. We are the ones missing out. It may be uncomfortable. You may be sitting across the table from Jesus wondering, what do I talk about? You know what? You'll get over that if you just keep meeting him regularly. You will get over it. And you will get to the point where you learn that the 5 minutes that you start out with him isn't enough. Next thing you know, you'll be spending 10 minutes a day with Jesus, crying out to him, loving on him, talking to him. Gang, I over the years, you've always heard me talking about the importance of spending time with God and reading your Bible every day. And I'm learning this year that it's more than reading your Bible. I'm learning that God wants to hear from me. God wants to hear from you. Gang, I wonder how many packages are still up on the shelves. Let's start pulling them down. Let's start asking God to take the packages off the shelves. I was thinking today when we have a 7:30 a.m. prayer meeting. And as we were praying, this thought hit me that how I often think of church like a filling station. And we all come in hungry, the tank's running on empty, time to fill her up, pump up the gas tank, and so we're all topped off and off, ready to go out into the world. You know what? I wish that we would change that. I wish that we would come to church, and rather than having our tanks on empty, I'd rather that our tanks were overflowing. And that church is not, there'll be times, sure, when you're gonna just need to fill her up, and I'm still dragging on empty. I understand that. But it's my desire, gang, that if you're the cream of the crop. I mean, who gets up at 9 o'clock to have church? I mean, it's just the hardcore guys, gang. I pray that we get to the place where church isn't for being refilled, but church is a place where you're overflowing, where it wouldn't be a place where we're all showing up with shopping carts looking to fill the cart, but that it's a marketplace, and the aisles, we're manning the aisles. We've got tons of stuff to offer to others. Gang, this comes when we learn to pull things down from the shelves of heaven during the week. And we have much to offer. We need to pray, gang. We need to pray. I might just end here. I think I've said enough. Paul will talk about persevering prayer. And frankly, we need to learn to persevere. We need to learn to keep going. Because you're going to find out that when you start praying and asking God for things, he doesn't give you everything like that. Some things he wants you to keep praying. Some things are 20-time praying requests. And you get it on number 21. don't quit after number two. Keep going until you see it through to the end. That's why the prayer list helps. Because there are things that I'm praying, I'm learning, well, some things can come off. Some things are just wrong. I'm just praying for the wrong thing. And some things I'm going to stick on till I die. I'm going to still keep praying for this until I die. Persevering prayer. Well, the other thing I was going to mention, this is kind of cool. He says in verse 19, he says, pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know what's kind of cool about that verse? The phrase that it may be given to me, that utterance may be given to me. We as preachers, we like to pray that I'll get, you know, be able to speak freely, you know, that I'll be able to share the gospel with people. But the way he phrases this is a very strange, unique way. He uses what's called the optative mood. You can impress your friends with that. Optative. What it means is this. He's asking for something that probably is very likely, very unlikely to happen. He's an ambassador in chains for Pete's sake. He's in prison. So how in the world is he ever going to be able to preach boldly when he's in prison? But he uses this specific, unique way of saying that, you know, I don't know if it's going to happen, but I really wish it would. And what I see in that, beloved, don't be afraid to pray for the impossible. Don't be afraid to pray for the impossible. You might think there isn't an ice cube's chance in that place down there for this to happen. So if God puts it on your heart, it could be that it's on a shelf in heaven waiting to come down. We need to learn to pray for the impossible and keep praying. Keep praying. I'm seeing things happen since I'm learning this. I'm seeing things happen around me that I never, ever thought would happen. Pray for the impossible. We're going to have communion. And so let's spend some time getting our hearts ready. And if we've got some fellows lined up to get to serve communion, we're going to have them come on up to the front. And what a great morning for communion. The table is set. Your date is waiting for you. And we're here. And we have a great opportunity to spend time just with us and our King. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your patience towards us. Lord, we're just so thankful for your grace. Lord, that you aren't sitting at the table tapping your foot angrily waiting for us to arrive. But Lord, you do long for us. And you love us. You're not a needy fellow, but Lord, you are certainly loving. And you have all we need. You are our everything. You're all that we've ever wanted, all that we've ever needed. Lord, all the things that get so confusing in our lives, things that get so screwed up, you know what to do. You have the power to change things. You have the answers to the questions. You know how to untangle knots that we think are impossible. And you, though we would have given up on us a long time ago, you have not ever given up on us. So Lord, we're thankful, so thankful for your grace. Lord, I'd like to pray this morning if there's any of our friends here who are in that place where they've never been introduced to you, Lord. They've heard about you, but they don't know you. I pray, Lord, that this morning would be their time to find you. You know, friend, the Bible tells us that Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. It's kind of like standing at the door of your heart, and he's knocking. and He wants you to let Him in. He wants to be a part of your life. But the doorknob is only on the inside. He's not going to break down the door. You have to invite Him in. And it's very simple to do that. It's simply saying to Him something like this: Jesus, You are awesome. And I need You, Lord. Lord, I need Your forgiveness. I thank You for dying for me on the cross. Lord, I ask that You would come into my heart, come into my life. Change me. Make me Your child. Because I want to know You. I need to know You. And I thank You.